of chapter 2 in Daniel. Verse 31 of chapter 2 in Daniel. Daniel interprets the dream for him. He says, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken into pieces, and at the same time it became like chaff set on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth." This was the dream, and now we'll interpret it to the king. "You, king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that heart of gold, that head of gold. But after you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours." Well, we know that the next kingdom that rose after that was Medo-Persia. And that was the one of bronze. I mean, the one of silver. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, and that was Macedonia, Alexander the Great. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there'll be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, and that's that iron beast, the fourth beast in Daniel 7. Finally, there'll be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, though this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it. That's the kingdom that comes next. Now, if you notice, it's that same kingdom of iron, but it's iron and clay. And this is that kingdom of the Antichrist that comes up from the, you know, like the little horn comes out of the iron beast, his kingdom. So this kingdom comes up out of this out of the legs of iron. "And as the toes are partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of these kings, and of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed." And he's talking about, you know, Jesus and the millennium. "Nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces." Now, we have more to say here about chapter 2. More in the way of interpretation. But first, let's go over to Daniel chapter 7 and make some comparisons. Alright? And I want to bring out some important points that have to do with the other, that have to do with the interpretation in Daniel chapter 2. And you're going to see that chapter 7 and chapter 2 have a great deal in common. In the first year of Belshazzar, this is chapter 7, verse 1, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed, and he wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, there before me were the four winds of heaven turning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had the wings of an eagle. And I watched until its wings were torn off and lifted from the ground, and so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it." This is that head of gold. This is Babylon. I want you to see the comparison. "And there before me was a second beast that looked like a bear, was raised up on one of the sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth." This was Medo-Persia, and that's the kingdom of silver. You know, the arms and the chest of silver. it was told, get up and fill your fill of flesh. After that, I looked before me, was another beast. One looked like a leopard. And on its back, it had four wings like those of a bird. The beast had four heads and was given authority to rule. And this is that kingdom of bronze. This is Macedonia, Alexander the Great. And after that, in my vision at night, looked, and lo, there was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. This is those legs of iron, that iron kingdom. And it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Now, we can see a connection between these 10 horns and the 10 toes that come out at the end of the iron and clay. All right, so we see this fourth beast as those iron legs. And I was looking, thinking about the horns. There before me was another horn, a little one, and it came up from among them, and three of the first horns was uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Now, this is Antichrist in his kingdom. I want to jump down to verse 11. And then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. And I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body was destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts, these other kingdoms, had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. And that's during the millennium. These other kingdoms go into the millennium, but it's the beast of iron is destroyed. This is the kingdom of Antichrist. And you see how it was there in those legs of iron, and then it came out again, only iron mixed with clay in those 10 horns. Or those 10 toes. Well, these 10 horns are translated to these 10 toes because it's these 10 kingdoms and these 10 kings. You see, the Antichrist overthrows 3 of them. 7 go in allegiance with him, and he overthrows 3 of them. The little horn pushes up 3 horns by the roots. And this is where we get the imagery for Antichrist in Revelation 13. This beast also comes out of the sea, just as these did, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns, 10 countries. Right? But only 7 heads, because Antichrist overthrows 3 of them. And so you can see how this relates. Now, is that clear to everybody? Between chapter 2, now we just covered that very surfacely, and we're going to go back and look at some things. But is that clear to everybody? Does that make sense to you? All right, with that overview, we're going to go back now. And we're going to go back here to the beginning of Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to look at some individual things. All right? Daniel said in his vision at night, I looked, and before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. The four winds of heaven are the same four living creatures. You see them in the opening of the seals there in Revelation. They are the four cherubim before God. You see them, these are those four angels with the four wheels in Ezekiel. They're known as the four winds because winds are figurative of spirits. And it's through the churning up the four winds, churning up the great sea, that four great beasts, each different from the others, came out upon the sea. And you see a part of the ministry of these four creatures, these four cherubim, is to release what God wants released upon the earth in its time. Now, how many of you can see that? So we've got to understand now that first and foremost, these things are about spiritual things that are manifested in the physical things. These are about spiritual dominions also manifested through physical dominions. There's a great thing about them coming up of the sea. It's just like flesh is born of water. It's a manifestation through water. The earth was created through water. Coming up out of the deep. This has a great meaning. You remember we read in Hebrews where the things that are seen are created from that which is not seen. This is about how all things are revealed into the physical. They're manifested from the spiritual. Everything that is seen is made from that which is not seen. And this is the process of which these kingdoms are manifested in God's way and God's time. Now, we want to see the spiritual implications behind these things, more than just what they physically mean, because it's going to give us a great insight into what's going on, especially here in the last days. Daniel said, "In my vision I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven, and these are those four angels, turning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion." Now, when we look at the lion representing Babylon, that was not only their symbol, but also Satan. Satan is a lion. How many of you have heard he's a ravening and roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? Satan is this lion. And I want you to listen to this. He had the wings of an eagle. "And I watched until its wings were torn off and was lifted up from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it." Satan was an archangel. And he had his wings torn off, didn't he? He was cast down to earth. How many of you can see the relationship to Satan being cast down to earth and this being having his, this lion with the eagle's wings, having his wings torn off? Now, the mouth of a lion, we're going to see, has to do with blasphemy. And he spoke blasphemies, didn't he? He spoke blasphemies against the God of gods. All right, this is how he's represented in Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to remember that, because when we go to Daniel chapter 2, we're going to have more to say about that, and you'll see how it represents. So we see the influence behind the physical kingdom of Babylon, and it gives us a key. The real understanding behind the kingdom of Babylon is Satan's kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom of the powers and principality of the air, and how it was first expressed. We're going to learn that it's not just this progression in which the beast came, but we want to see it as overall one beast or one figure. And that's the way it's portrayed in Daniel chapter 2. One figure from head to foot. One figure from head to foot. Now, when it says it, when it says it was lifted, "I watched until its wings were torn off and it was lifted from the ground so it stood on 2 feet like a man." Lifted from the ground. Lifted from the ground. So that it stood on 2 feet like a man. There's a great meaning to this. Remember where it talks about the beast that ascends from the bottomless pit? The beast that ascends from the bottomless pit? Remember it says the spirit of Antichrist will come up from the bottomless pit, from the abyss. It says This eighth king will come up from the abyss. He's of the seven, but he is an eighth king. He once was, now is not, and yet will come. Lifted up from the ground, it has to do with being lifted up from the grave in a way. Made to stand on 2 feet like a man. In other words, a spirit manifested in flesh. This also, lifted up from the ground, has to do with this, the area of the powers and principalities between heaven and earth. Now, this lifted up on the ground, we can see how it's used figuratively in many ways. Jesus, because anything is lifted up from the ground in that way, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree, anyone who hangs from a tree. Jesus was lifted up between heaven and earth, wasn't he? There's a great meaning here, and we're not going to get into all of that, but I want you to see where some of these things lead. Keep those things in mind. His wings were torn off and was lifted up from the ground, stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. Satan, it's showing you the spiritual influence, and this is the part you need to get out of it, the spiritual influence invested through flesh, manifested in flesh. Now, isn't that Satan's desire? He wants to rule not only from the powers and principalities, but be manifested into this world through flesh. Right? How many of you can see that? Spirits need flesh to manifest themselves. These influences. Now, can you see this in the way people act? Remember when people say, "Well, I wasn't in control. I lost it." Well, if you lost it, who found it? A spirit, an entity. They want to work through you, these influences. They don't have bodies. They want to use your body. They want to demonstrate their hate and their lust and their and everything else, and they can't do it without flesh. He is the spirit at work in the children of disobedience. Understand how this spiritual kingdom is manifested. All right. So first is this kingdom of the lion. And as Satan spoke blasphemous things, so did Nebuchadnezzar. As Satan is that king that had the wings of an eagle and watched until his wings were torn off, this is talking directly about Satan as he's manifested through Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. All right, I want you to see how it works with the second one. There before me was a second beast. Now, we're going to see this pattern go through all of them. We're going to see the physical manifestation of the kingdom and the spiritual entity working through that kingdom. All right? There before me was a second beast, and which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, "Get up and eat your fill of flesh." After that I looked. Alright, now notice how it says that it was raised up on one of its sides and had three ribs in its mouth. If a bear is raised up on one of its sides, what does that mean? I want you to think about it. This bear is raised up on one of its sides. That means 2 feet in the air and 2 feet on the ground, right? We're not talking about him standing up on his hind legs, are we? We're talking about 2 feet on the ground, front paw and back paw, and two in the air. This bear is raised up on one of its sides. How many of you can see that? So it's 2 feet on the ground and 2 feet in the air. Can y'all get that out of it? 2 feet on the ground, 2 feet in the air. All right, this again, we see a picture not only of the two kings, remember? Medo-Persia had two kings, the Medes and the Persians. One for the Medes, one for the Persians. That's how they ruled in union. The king of the Medes and the king of the Persians together, Medo-Persia. And through these two men, the ones who were on the ground, flesh, there's two in the air. Two spirits, the prince of Media and the prince of Persia, those powers that are underneath Satan, right? We're talking about this hierarchy. It's displayed in the next kingdom, isn't it? Two in the air, two on the ground. Well, let's go down now and look and see how it's invested in the other. I looked after there before me was another beast, one looked like a leopard. On its back it had four wings like those of a bird, and the beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. Now I want you to tell me, which ones are the spirits and which ones are the men? Can you see it? The four heads are those four generals of Alexander the Great, Ptolemy, Necrometer, Seleucid, and Antipater, and the four wings are those spirits, wings, get it? Those spirits that rule over those four. You see the men, and you see the influence again, don't you? Four wings on its back, these are the spirits that rule it, and the four heads are the four men that those spirits rule through. How many of you can see that? Can you see this continuing progression? We've seen Satan, right? We've seen the prince of Media and Persia through Medo-Persia, through the two kings, princes of Media and Persia, these spirits. And now we see these four for the four kingdoms. And it's important that each four of these had one, we know, because they become great, they become kingdoms of themselves. All right. As we go in on this, after this in my vision at night, and I looked, me was a fourth beast, and this is Rome, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. Now, do you see a connection between the teeth and the horns? The teeth and the horns. We know the horns are a man, are men, because the little horn we know is a man. So the horns are kings, but the teeth, the large iron teeth, the kingdom of iron. Now, what is it that says, and this is what's important. Remember, we're going to talk about the kingdom of gold, the kingdom of silver, the kingdom of bronze, and the kingdom of iron, and then the one of iron and clay. Alright, so iron, gold, silver all have to do with the spiritual powers that are behind them. And what is it that's about this that is iron? After that, in my vision at night, I looked before me, was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth, it crushed and devoured its victims, and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and had 10 horns. Can you see that the iron teeth are those spirits that rule over these 10 heads, these 10 horns? Have you noticed that for each one of these things we've had a spiritual counterpart so far? And it's no different here. While I was thinking about the horns, before me was another one, a little horn that came up among them, and which three of the first horns were uprooted before it. The horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. So when we see three kings overcome through this, and to make the Antichrist, three kings, right? We're going to see in seven heads, this is the completion of the beast that is to come. Complete seven. Three to overcome. And this has to do with something else that's going on in the heavenlies. We're not going to really talk about that right this moment. But now I want to go back to Daniel chapter 2. And let's confirm some of these things that we're talking about. Now remember, all of this is still just an overview, even though we're getting to a few specifics. All right, in Daniel chapter 2, when Daniel interprets the dream for the king, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was of pure gold, its chest and arms and belly," and so forth. And he goes, now the interpretation. Now we'll interpret to the king. "You are king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands, and he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, and wherever they live, he's made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold." Well, can't we say the same thing spiritually about Satan? He became the god of this world. And when he's ruling over the beasts of the field, aren't we talking about evil men? And when he's ruling over the birds of the air, aren't we talking about the powers and principalities? Now, all of this is physically pictured in Nebuchadnezzar through that kingdom, but Satan is the head of gold in that hierarchy of the powers and principalities. Well, what is under Satan then is that silver. And silver describes the powers and the principality there. Alright? And silver, we see, was Medo-Persia, the two princes that are under Satan. And then, now, I want you to notice how this continues at a hierarchy. Now, it doesn't say 10 teeth. But we can pretty much make that assumption because of the 10 horns, because there's a power for everyone mentioned. I want you to see how it goes down. In here, we have gold, silver, bronze, iron, and then finally the 10 toes, iron mixed with clay. 1 at the top, 10 at the bottom. In chapter 7 of Daniel, we see the same thing. We see Satan, who's one. We see the two princes under Satan, Media and Persia. Then we see the four under them. And then we see the ten under those four. We see a hierarchy, don't we? And it starts with one and ends with ten. Same thing here. We see a hierarchy expressed in this image now. Now, it's when, what point will the kingdom of Satan be destroyed? When it has been fully invested in the flesh, iron mixing with clay. Iron standing for the spiritual, mixing with the clay, which is the physical man, flesh. Right? Satan is trying to manifest himself through flesh. And when that kingdom of the ten toes is destroyed, you notice he strikes the whole image of the beast at the feet. And if you knock down the feet where it stands in the flesh, you know, then the whole kingdom tumbles, doesn't it? If you hit that image at its feet, then that whole image fumbles. And so when Satan, we're being told here, the time when Satan has manifested his kingdom into the flesh, which will be this Antichrist kingdom, when he manifests it finally in that guy, and in those ten kings, those ten thorns, when it's finally fully manifested in the flesh, that's when God destroys it. And that stone that's not cut out with hands is Jesus. And his kingdom will fill the whole earth. But this is an overview. This is an overview. But can you see these things that I'm talking about? Can you really see how these things are manifested? It's a good place to stop for now. Oh, questions or comments?